Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered in this assembly tonight. Certainly, my heart's already been blessed as we've heard the singing, also the devotional, very fitting devotional, and it fit real well. It didn't subtract at all from the message, it added to it. And so I thank you for that sharing. If you consider the subject tonight, the consequences of sin. We sang already this evening, "Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free." And I believe that's why you gave me this title this evening, is for it's your desire that no one in this assembly would have sin hiding in their hearts, that all sin would be taken care of. I believe that's why you assigned me this title, "The Consequences of Sin." God's people are to be free from sin, a heart set free from sin. This subject, I would say, is very black in color. I remember touring several caves. I remember when I was just a lad, just in first grade or second grade, I think. We went to Penn's Cave. In Penn's Cave, we had a boat. We went through the cave. If I remember right, the guide said, "Now, I'm going to turn out the light. Turn out the light." And it was black. Very, very black. It could be felt. When my wife, now, when we weren't married, I was dating her, we went to Luray Caverns, again, in the cavern. Black. Blackness you can feel. And so I would say this title, this sermon, is a very black sermon. But I do want to give you a ray of light at the end of it. But sin is similar. It is very black, and it can be felt. First of all, do some basic Bible study here in this sermon. What is sin? Now, these are quotes from the doctrines of the Bible. And again, I said these are quotes, so I'm going to just read over them. I'm not going to turn to these scriptures. If you get your doctrines of the Bible, you would see these written there. And I'll just give them as they have them. Number one, answering the question, what is sin? The thought of foolishness is sin. Proverbs 24:9. Number two, whatever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14:23. Number three, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James 4:17. Number four, sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 3:4. Number five, all unrighteousness is sin. 1 John 5:17. Sin has been defined as any thought, word, action, omission, or desire contrary to the law of God. End of quotes. Now, those were powerful quotes, what sin is. And sometimes, as we think about all those definitions, we can start having doubts. How clean am I? Now, these are powerful scriptures. The thought of foolishness is sin. You know, think about that, just the thought of it. And so, God can, by His Holy Spirit, show us, you know, if we have sin in our hearts or need to cleanse our hearts in any way. But these are the interpretations of what sin is, the definitions of them. Now I'd like to turn to James chapter 1. You can turn with me to James chapter 1. I'd like to read verses 13 to 16. In here we have the process, I call it, of sin. And I want us all to see this process. James chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." So here we have the process of sin. The first process, I say, is lust. The lust of the heart is the first process. And lust is the desire for the forbidden. We can think of our first parents back there in the garden, Adam and Eve. And God gave them one rule, one law. God says, "Do not eat of this tree." One rule. Now, the whole Garden of Eden, to go and walk around in to eat of the fruit thereof. Only one rule. God says don't do that. But that desire in their hearts was activated by Satan. And there is a serpent. He came to him and said, yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said. And so then they looked. The woman looked at the tree and the man looked at the tree. And in their hearts came welling forth a problem called lust. Lust. They desired the fruit of that one tree. Desire for the forbidden. We know the story, the fall of man. Man fell into sin, took of the forbidden, and they fell. That's the first step, process of sin. Second step is enticement. Enticement. They were enticed by the beauty. The woman looked and saw that the fruit was beautiful, and she wanted to taste it to see how good it tasted. Enticement. Another example, I think, of enticement, we know how Samson went down the Philistines after those Philistine women. And we have Delilah trying to get him to tell the strength of his body. And little by little, she coaxed it out of him. She entrapped him. She enticed him. Finally, he just gave his whole heart and says, no razor has ever been upon my head. She enticed him. And so lust, number one. Secondly, enticement. Thirdly is conception. Conception. It is the meditation of sin in the mind. We have lust for the forbidden. We have the enticement, the attraction. And then we have it in our mind. And then the process of the mind, we meditate. We think on it. And then we have a plan in our mind how to activate that lust, how to activate that conception. When it is activated, it is a conception. We activate our lust and enticement. And then that plan is in our mind. And then next is just, as it were, only a split decision before we sin. Sin is acting out the plan. That is against God's law. It's acting out the plan. And then after sin comes what the scripture says, death. Now, I believe what it means is death. We know at the end it means eternal damnation. But this death, I believe, means spiritual death. God said to Adam and Eve, the day you eat thereof, you will surely die. And did they fall over and get buried that day? No. But they died spiritually. And they had to die, yes, physically, and their sons and daughters, no doubt, had to put them in the grave. But first of all, spiritual death, and then last of all, it's physical death. And if they don't repent in that time frame, then it's eternal death. That is the process of sin. Again, a very black subject, but all of us have dealt with it before conversion. We have dealt with sin. We were sinners, but now hopefully we're all sinners saved by grace. All sin is sin, whether it is out front and bold or hiding as secret sins in the heart. I want to have you turn with me to some bold sins. I had classified them as bold sins, and I'll give you a description of bold sins and then secret sins. But Romans chapter 1, I'd like to read some verses there I call bold sins. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to the end of the chapter. And I'm not going to describe all these sins. You know, as Bible readers and those that have knowledge of the filth of this world, how it identifies these things. And I would call them bold sins. Sins that are affront against God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain, and their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I call these bold sins, a huge list of black sins that the human heart can have, terrible sins. And like I said, I'm not going to go through and lift them all out. But you know, as we read over them, those sins, horrible sins, terrible sins. And I call them bold sins. God hates all sin. These are bold sins in our land that we live in. It's rampant with all these sins, rampant. Now I'm not going to give you a scripture text to go with me to read on the secret sins. But the secret sins, I want to just give you a Bible example. We have King Saul. King Saul being jealous of David. There's a secret sin, jealousy. Jealousy, I'll just name a bunch before I go into that story. We have bitterness, resentment, anger, envy, pride, lying, cheating. All of these things can be hidden in the recesses of our heart. And we can have a form, we can go to church like this and hide it from others. I call them secret sins. Now, this story about King Saul, we know it's a favorite, one that you know really well. But King David wasn't king yet. And Saul had him be his musician, as it were, play the harp for him, because Saul had trouble with having evil spirit trouble him. And so David would come and sing these songs that calm him. But David went out and killed Goliath. In that great victory, many Philistines were killed. And Saul would send David out to kill Philistines again and again. And one time, after David slew many Philistines, Saul and them came back. And the women sang a song that King Saul hated. It said, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. It says, from that time on, Saul eyed David. A jealousy welled up in his heart, and he eyed him. And so he tried to send him out to kill more Philistines, and hopefully he would be killed in battle. Now God protected David. And so on. Eventually that jealousy in his heart went out in the front, and he had a good part of Israel running over the mountains trying to kill David. So that secret sin eventually did come out in the open. But those are, I call, secret sins, that pride, envy, jealousy, anger, resentment, bitterness, all of these things. All of these things are sin, whether bold or secret. And the Holy Spirit will convict us, whatever we're dealing with. And I believe to be successful in our Christian life, we need to deal with those secret sins that we know about already. Work on them hard, use the Word of God, and deal with them. Next question, who has sinned? Who has sinned? Scripture says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12. So we know that Adam was the culprit. Adam was the one man that sinned, right? He was the one man that began sin, Adam and Eve. But it says all have sinned. We took on the nature of Adam. And so we also are part of the sin camp. We're sinners also. Today, hopefully, sinners saved by grace. The consequences of sin. And I have four main statements I'm going to say or to give, and then I want to take you to scriptures and to bear out these points, the consequences of sin. First, sins produce spiritual problems. Spiritual problems produce emotional schisms. Spiritual problems produce social schisms. And spiritual problems produce physical schisms. For the first one, turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Sins produce spiritual problems. Genesis chapter 3. I'm using a lot of scriptures because I believe it's very important to get to read what the Bible says, the authority of God's word, what it says about sin. So I'm going to read Genesis chapter 3 about how spiritual problems have come because of sins. And that's back in the story I mentioned. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know. That in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant for the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife the Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. An old story we've heard many, many times. But here we have the consequences of sin. Everyone, Adam, Eve, the serpent, all of them faced the consequences of sin, punishment from God. The second one, spiritual problems produce emotional schisms. Let's turn to Psalm 38. Psalm 38. I'm just going to read the first 11 verses and think about how this person was feeling. Their emotional, as we call it, system was completely aggravated because of sin. It's the Psalm of David. Psalm 38, verse 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head, as an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desires before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. See the emotional turmoil in that chapter because of sin. Thirdly, spiritual problems produce social schisms. And I'm going to just, I touched on this before about King Saul and David. Social schism there in Israel between David and King Saul. That's an example. Fourthly, spiritual problems produce physical schisms. Now turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 2. No, 21, I mean. 1 Kings 21. First Kings 21, first six verses. It came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel hard by the palace of Ahab king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me, that I should give thee the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased, because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed, and turned away his face, and would eat no bread. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad, that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. Here we have a spiritual problem producing a physical schism. He wouldn't eat. Ahab, the king of Israel, wouldn't eat. Because he coveted this vineyard and he wasn't allowed it. The king wasn't allowed this vineyard because Naboth believed in the inheritance of his fathers to keep that. So we have these four main problems. Sins produce spiritual problems. Spiritual problems produce emotional schisms. Spiritual problems produce social schisms. Spiritual problems produce physical schisms. What a black subject. What all sin does against humanity. Now, word of caution, church leaders, school teachers, parents, counselors, be very, very careful in giving judgment. These points that I've mentioned are very true. But as leaders in these roles that I mentioned, and we can say, well, you have this problem because of sin in your life. Be very, very careful about that. And I want to share with you a scripture, you know, to put some carefulness in us as church leaders and so on, whoever we are over other people, that we're very, very careful in our judgment. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. These are hard things to say. And so we must be very, very careful as we work with people and their problems to not automatically say it's because you have a sin problem. Matthew 7, 1-5. This is to produce caution in us. Matthew 7, verse 1, Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So sin causes spiritual problems. But as leaders over people, I just say again, be very, very cautious to label someone's problem as sin. When they're not physically eating, when they have an emotional problem, those kind of things, a social problem, don't be too quick to give them a label. It's because of your sin. Now, I do believe as leaders over God's people, sometimes we need to be like a prophet and say, because of this, we believe, is why you're facing this. We need to be very, very careful. And Scripture talks about in Proverbs that wise people draw out others. And so before we give a solution, I think we should draw out the person we're working with, one that has problems. Let them talk their heart out and listen and see where they're coming from and see what the issues are before we just randomly give them a label. 1 John 5:19 says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. I'm going to talk about this, some of the wickedness of the world. I'm not going to go into many details, but go with the scriptures again. The whole world lieth in wickedness. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Workers of iniquity, and they're rampant in our society, calling sin some other kind of label. Doctors and pastors and whoever's in authority, they label sin as some kind of better label. Never saying it's sin, but saying some kind of label. And these are workers of iniquity, not calling sin what sin. We need to be careful as God's people about, you know, labeling people with sins, but these are workers of iniquity. They're seducing people and deceiving them. And many are falling in their ways into more and more sin. Another point under this is the resting of scriptures. 2 Peter 3:16 says, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Philippians 3:18 and 19. The resting of scriptures. There are many religious people across our land. They take the Bible, even the Bible that we love so dearly, and they twist the scriptures to make it what they want. For example, divorce and remarriage. Many, many pastors allow divorce and remarriage in their congregations. Resting of scriptures, just one example. Many, many issues in society. The pastors are twisting the scriptures, deceiving multitudes. What a black picture. Is it any wonder that the religious people of society, as they twist the scriptures and calm people's feelings down, that the common folks' morality has plunged to record levels of sinfulness? When the pastors speak peace to sinful people, and then these common folks go out and they sin deeper and deeper into sin. Terrible, terrible. Beware of deceivers. They are a snare to the ignorant and the simple. Fornication, adultery, divorce and remarriage, homosexuality and civil unions have demolished the social structure in worldly families. You think about that. Terrible, terrible sins. And it's demolished the social structure of worldly families. Thank God that you believe in the Word of God. I know you do. There's mothers and fathers here raising their children. In this blackness, in a society that has plunged into terrible sins, here we are as God's people. And we should be shining as lights in this wicked, wicked world. I want to talk a little about the judgment of God. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 6. This is a story about the flood. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 to 7. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Here we have the judgment of God on the pre-flood world. It says, every thought in their minds was only evil continually. God looked down, he saw the violence in the land, and repented that he made man, because man had corrupted themselves to a terrible level. God said, I'm going to destroy them. The worldwide flood, and he did. We know the story. Now let's go to 2 Peter. We're going to look at the coming judgment of this modern world. 2 Peter chapter 3, reading the first 13 verses. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue, as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. The great fire that's going to destroy this world is coming next. We don't know when. But each day that goes by is one day closer to the end of this world. Are you prepared? Am I prepared? Are we godly or are we ungodly? Are there sins hiding in our hearts? Secret sins. Or are there bold sins in our heart? It doesn't matter if it's secret sins or bold sins. All sin is sin before God's holy gaze. Our God is a holy God. He'll only take in those into heaven that are holy. Ungodly people will face the judgment of God. Our choices will be what God will judge. Our choices will lead us to heaven, or our choices will lead us to hell. It will be our own choices that God will judge. And then by those choices, he'll place us in one place or the other. Now, I must project a little light into this blackness. I've painted a very black picture of sin, and I need to do that, as that was my assignment, as what God laid on my heart. Sin is terrible, horrible, in the person that possesses it, and also before an almighty God, a holy God. It's terrible. And so the light I want to project to you tonight is, today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart, as in the provocation. There is time to repent. There is time to repent. I don't know you well at all, but you all look really good tonight. And so it looks to me like there's no sin here, but I don't know. God knows your hearts. But if there's some kind of sin hiding, a bold sin, and you say, well, how can I ever bring that forth? And what would others think of me? Bring it forth. It's the only way you're going to get into heaven. You must repent. So repentance is that light shining. There in those caves I mentioned, Penn's Cave, Luray Cavern, they have the light on. You can see the stalagmites and stalactites there on the wall. You can see because of the light. You can see what was inside the cave. And so I'm giving you this light, the light of repentance. Jesus is the light of the world. And the light will come into your heart and fill you. But you must repent, confess, and forsake your sin. Heaven will be free of all sin and sinners. So it's our choice. We know today that there's not a sinner going to make it into heaven. There's not a sinner going to be going somehow sneaking into the pearly through the pearly gates into heaven. God won't allow it. There's no sin or sinners in heaven. Today is the day of salvation. Repent. If there's sin in your lives, repent. Because we can repent, and as was mentioned already this evening, that we can claim those glorious promises, that he'll remove our sin as far as the east is from the west. And there's no point. It continues on. It's behind the back of God. Hopefully tonight, all of you are sinners saved by grace. One time, you had blackness in your heart, in my heart. But now we're sinners saved by grace. Hopefully, that is the case. But I give you that light, the light of repentance, because you can be clean. Remember this, that even after you repent, there is the law of sowing and reaping. Sometimes people think, you know, when they repent or are Christians now, all should be erased. Well, God's law of sowing and reaping still is in effect. It's still a terrible consequence of sin. Because sinning back in our life sometime, we're reaping today this pain. It's a law of sowing and reaping. So sin is a terrible master. The consequences of sin are horribly terrible. But remember, there is hope in repentance. Let's kneel for prayer.